From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
How long should one stay in rehab after losing to Donald Trump? BlackAgendaReport.com columnist Margaret Kimberly this week, in her Freedom Rider column, answers in Hillary Clinton's case forever. Margaret, nice to have you back.
Thank you, Don.
So, Hillary's back. That's the column, Hillary Returns.
Yes. Yes, she, I suspected this would take place. She immediately after the election, it was very funny. I noticed something. She stopped wearing makeup. I guess she didn't have to anymore, try to look younger. But at any rate, but she would show up. People would see her walking in the woods near her home in New York, or she'd go to a Broadway show and people would applaud her. She did win New York very handily. But lately, she's been reappearing. She's posting on Twitter. She posted this strange message right before the vote for the DNC chairman race, and so she's been giving her opinions on things. The makeup's back on, and last week she appeared in Scranton, Pennsylvania, of all places, at a St. Patrick's Day event. Makeup back on, hair done in Pennsylvania, one of those states that flipped and went to Trump. And it's very clear she's trying to resurrect herself. This should be impossible for her to do. She is, I blame her and the Democratic Party for Donald Trump's victory. She, lest we forget, she wanted to run against Trump. She thought he would be the easiest to beat. Instead of actually developing her own programs and telling people what she should do, she just dismissed him as something who, you know, was deplorable. And he was a racist and a misogynist, and she didn't have to do anything to beat him. Meanwhile, he was the one energizing voters. He got 2 million more votes than Mitt Romney got. And she lost the Electoral College by just 80,000 votes in three states, which would have given her victory. This is despite the fact that she raised $1 billion, despite the fact that the president endorsed her, despite the fact that corporate media all endorsed her. She lost. And Trump has unfortunately been the focal point for Democrats. Trump is so terrible. Trump is so awful. Not my president. And very few people have called out Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party for the things they did that led him to victory. And that's why it's so terrible that she even thinks she can run for president again. And it's clear to me that she has started her campaign. I think it's linked to this call for Trump's impeachment, this kangaroo court of an investigation about Russian influence and the campaign. And it's all linked. So Hillary returns, as I said, and that is not good news at all. And I think the Democratic Party can look forward to more losses if they don't put a stop to her right away.
Yeah, I mean, you were not shy about your sentiments on this particular point. Your post that your Facebook page, Hillary Clinton has reapplied her makeup and is making campaign style appearances. Can someone please put a stake through her heart?
yes, that's what I said. It's I don't know. The Democratic Party is in this death spiral, and the fact that she's allowed to return at all is proof. Democrats are out of power across the country, out of the House, out of the Senate. All they had left was a presidency. They lost that, lost most state houses. Republicans gerrymandered districts and gerrymandered safe seats. So they are out, and she is the face of that decline. Barack Obama gets blamed for it too. But when on election night, when I realized that Donald Trump was going to win, I wrote a column about the Democrats and how the response to Hillary Clinton's defeat should be to overturn, to get rid of these people who lead the party. I had left the Democrats anyway. I was glad that I had. But there's no saving the Democrats. There's no hope for them. They couldn't even take Bernie Sanders' reforms. He's not that much of a leftist. He marketed himself as a socialist and, you know, a revolution and none of those things. Excuse me, he would have been better than Hillary Clinton, and I think would have had a better chance to win, but they just treated him as this irritant to be gotten rid of. They never asked themselves, why is he so popular? What part of his platform should we include and run on? None of it. None of it. And she said, well, we're never going to have a public option in healthcare. That's never going to happen. And she couldn't even bear to say it just to be cynical and try to get in. None of the things that he said that challenged her so seriously. And so here we are with Hillary Clinton. Trump is on the ropes, high disapproval ratings, these hearings they've about Russian influence. Democratic Party is flogging that horse because it's another way to distract their voters, who, instead of asking them, how did you end up this way? How did you lose to Trump? Are focused on Vladimir Putin and this flimsy, not even circumstantial evidence, in my opinion, proof of some Russian interference. And Hillary returns. And that's it's truly awful.
You know, yeah, we have HUAC 2.0 going on in the House right now. And,
yeah.
You know, one of the things troubling to me, and probably to folks at blackagendareport.com who ended up on one of the preliminary lists, was that they said they want to start investigating Americans, American mm-hmm. journalists, for example, who helped to spread Russian propaganda, as they've characterized Russian propaganda as something that kills, that has a body count, in the words of Senator Jeanne Shaheen, Democrat from New Hampshire. That would scoop up a lot of folks we know. And I'm wondering if those folks that have prominent microphones in the so-called alternative media will come to our defense if when we get dragged before HUAC 2.0.
I don't know, Don. I want to be optimistic, but not only did Senator Shaheen say that Russian propaganda kills, this Congressman Schiff, who has played, I believe, is a ranking Democrat on the House yes. committee, said that he said it is a fact that Russia interfered. It's a fact that Vladimir Putin ordered it. And he said this is an act of war. Yep. Now, what do you do if something's an act of war? You have justification for military attack. That's the first frightening thing yeah. about what he said. But as we discussed last week, the U.S. has a long history of interfering with elections around the world. When a group tied to Bill Clinton went on record as having interfered in the election that brought Boris Yeltsin back to power in 1996, speaking of Russia. So I guess Russia could have declared war on the United States.
Yeah.
So it's very dangerous. It makes the case for war. And most Democrats would probably go along with some kind of crazy military action. And it makes life perilous for people like myself and many others who, because we point out the problems with U.S. foreign policy, because we criticize U.S. foreign policy, because we point out where, if Russia should be defended, then with the facts, then you can do that. No nation is perfect. Most powerful nations have many deep flaws. But if it's the U.S. and NATO that are provoking Russia, then we have to say that they are the ones provoking Russia. If U.S. meddling in Ukraine created this crisis that led to the annexation of Crimea, if that's the case, we have to say so. But pointing out inconvenient facts is it's a very dangerous time to do that. And we don't know where this is going ultimately to lead. And I think I'm going to write a little more about that next week. But Hillary Clinton is the one that started this. She picked up on a Marco Rubio talking point when the Republican nomination was still in doubt. Marco Rubio started making these claims that Trump was under the influence of Russia. Hillary Clinton picked it up, made it a major talking point of her race against him, which clearly didn't work because she lost. And now Democrats are using it for the most cynical reasons to get rid of Trump, to neutralize him or get him impeached, and to keep their members from turning on them, which is actually what millions of Democrats ought to do.
Yeah. You know, the last time I saw you was at Lynn Stewart's funeral. And Lynn Stewart is an example that frightens me in terms of what was done to her. For holding a press conference, she was sentenced to 10 years in prison for aiding and abetting terrorism. She served four of it and had breast cancer metastasis while she was in prison. Thankfully, a movement led by her husband, Ralph Poynter, was able to get her out so that she didn't die in prison. But also, certainly, her medical care was delayed, perhaps in a way that impacted on the outcome. If holding a press conference, a single press conference, can put you in federal prison, I'm wondering what it is if a country has committed an act of war against the United States, according to the Democrats' claim, Schiff's claim, for example, what people who are reporting things that are in the Russian media and that are not otherwise heard in the United States might be charged with and ultimately face as quote-unquote punishment.
Yes, well, this is there's this new method of shutting people up, and it's called giving material support to terrorism, and it can be called anything the government says it is. So Lynn Stewart defended her client and helped translate a press release, and that was called giving material support to terror. It can be anything. It can be making a political contribution. It can be speaking to someone or for someone who has been designated on the terrorism list, according to the U.S. government. So these are very dangerous times, and we can thank Obama for that. He, and through the National Defense Authorization Act, said that the government can detain anyone indefinitely who the government says is a terrorist. You don't have to be charged. You don't have to be tried. So these are the things that we are that we're all facing now for merely giving opinions or even pointing out facts.
You know, you point out in the article that I'll quote it: allowing Hillary Clinton to resurrect herself is not just the road to another defeat in 2020, but possibly to world war. And this talks about tying Trump's hands as he perhaps attempts to reverse U.S. policy from one of outright military hostility to something that is more normalized and that takes place at conference tables instead of battlefields.
Yeah, and, you know, I think he's already been neutralized if he was serious about changing American foreign policy vis-a-vis Russia. He's been so discredited in the press. The Democrats and the corporate media have succeeded in painting him as a tool of Moscow that I don't see how, even if he did develop a coherent foreign policy and have all his team in place, I don't see how he could do it. So I think that the people are very serious about getting him impeached. I personally don't understand how that would make a difference. Democrats would still be out of power. So Pence would be president instead of Donald Trump. Pence is a doctrinaire right-wing Republican. I think Democrats would like Pence because they could make deals with him without getting the criticism that they would get with Trump. So they could go back to doing what they usually do, going along to getting along, not fighting the Republicans, and they could do it without the glare of publicity that that comes with any involvement with Donald Trump. So so here we are with Democrats being defeated and repeating everything that got them defeated in the first place. So with a president that they thought they could beat and but couldn't be, and they have only themselves to blame, and a passive rank and file that has let them get away with it. So power abhors, or is it nature abhors a vacuum? But anyway, so Hillary Clinton is back. I think she could be stopped by Bernie Sanders. It would be interesting. You know, at Black Agenda Report, we called him the sheepdog, and correctly so, that he played the role that Democratic progressives often play of getting their portion of the base excited, but in the end going along with the eventual nominee. And that's exactly what he did. I think he should be less concerned about that this time. I don't know. Maybe he's running for president again, too. But I think he should make it clear that he would not endorse her again. There's been no talk of someone else replacing her as a party standard bearer. You know, some of the people mentioned have obvious weaknesses, like Cory Booker, who's too obvious a corporate person who can't live up to any progressive, having any progressive credentials. And this is the problem with the party that just anointed her. And nobody emerged like Obama did in 2008. To challenge anybody who can raise a lot of money, that is. So the Democrats don't have a plan B. It could be Sanders, but I think he could torpedo her campaign. I hope he does, and I hope he says that he would not endorse her again. I don't know how those things play out at that level, but I think that would be essential. We cannot have Hillary Clinton running for president again. I was afraid. One of the reasons I didn't vote for her, I voted Green. I was afraid she would start World War III. I mean, her statements about Russia, the provoking, the threats, calling Putin Hitler. I mean, what do you do with a Hitler? You have to fight a Hitler. So right. She calls the president of Russia a Hitler. She was going to have another no-fly zone over Syria, which she didn't have the power to do because Russia is controlling the skies over Syria. So what was she saying? She would shoot down Russian planes and start a war. So even if it was just campaign talk, it was very irresponsible and proof of somebody who should not be president. And I still feel that way very, very strongly. And actually, I think the Democrats are making the case for the left. They're making the case for just getting rid of them. I think the old arguments about third party spoilers, and it doesn't even matter anymore because the Democrats can't win anything. So I think people on the left should lose their fear of opposing the Democratic Party. We must actively oppose them and build a new party. I think the Greens are the best alternative, but whatever people decide, I think the most important thing is to get rid of the Democrats once and for all. We do have a system that's hostile to third parties, and my argument for that is just get rid of the Democrats, stop supporting them.
Right. Yeah, then the next party would be the second party instead of a third party.
Exactly. So let them die. They're dying anyway, but we can't let them take us all with them.
So you mentioned that the Democrats raised this Russia boogaboo and the personal attacks on Trump as a racist and misogynist and Islamophobe and whatever. True or not, that was the center point of their campaign as opposed to an affirmative program. Mm-hmm. But, you write that the Democrats want to remain the corporatist party that carries out errands for the ruling class and wages imperialist war. You know, raising a program of, say, single-payer health care and other mm-hmm. things that would get someone elected, looking at the polling data on issues like that, of course, runs counter to their ability to remain the corporatist party. So they have affirmatively chosen not to adopt a program that can get them elected. and so we end up here and wondering what it is that the rank and file could do to come out of their stupor and try to make some kind of change happen in that party, or if that's even possible.
Yeah, it's going to be very, very tough to do. So the Democrats hope, they always live on Republican unpopularity. That's how they got back in 2006 when they won control of the House and Senate. George W. Bush was very unpopular, and because of the Iraq War. And so that is how they got back in 2006. Then Obama presented this new face for neoliberalism and imperialism. And so they for 2 years, 2009 and 2010, they could have done so much more, but they didn't. They had a chance to raise the minimum wage substantially. They didn't. They didn't pass card check. All we got was Obamacare, a health care plan which helped many people. The Medicaid expansion was, I think, the best thing about it. But it is still, we still have a healthcare system that is profit driven, and that creates all of the problems we have with healthcare. Still left millions of people uninsured, and they never discussed any sort of public option or Medicare for all, which is what we need to call it, just Medicare for all, because you know they can weasel their way out with things like single payer and public option. But we need, that's what we need, a Medicare for all system. And they rejected it when they had the chance to be able to pull that off. Now they're out of power. They could use that as a way to get back in. The Republican plan will be, health care plan will be a disaster. I believe that most Republicans didn't think Trump was going to win. And all their talk of repealing Obamacare was meant to energize their base. And then lo and behold, they won. Oops. And got control of Congress. And so, having said they were going to repeal Obamacare, now they've come up with this awful plan that will make more people uninsured, that is a cover for a tax cut for the rich, that will throw many people who voted for Trump, who will get throw them off. They'll be back without health insurance coverage at all, or health insurance that they can't afford. And instead of running for with Medicare for all, the Democrats are, you know, trying to quote unquote work with them and come up with some terrible bill, which still won't resolve our health care system problems once and for all. So the Democrats are clearly not intending to oppose. Their only way of opposing is to run with this Russia story and hope that Trump and the Republicans' unfavorability rises enough to help them get back in. I don't know. I think the Republicans were so successful with gerrymandering. I don't know that they can do that. They have all these safe seats. So that's right. I don't know if that will be possible, but that's what they're banking on. Now they're banking on people losing their health care coverage and voting Democratic again. So so that's where they are, hoping to drum up the Russian scaremongering and hoping people lose their health care, but they really have no intention of changing. They can't change. They're too beholden to corporate interests. So they're hoping to sell the same discredited non-policy. And if you notice now, they can't even tell you what Democrats stand for. It's just mealy-mouthed stuff about we've got our principles. And I'm like, well, what is your principle? But that, you know, they talk around every issue because they have not changed, and they're not that much different from Republicans, and that's what they are stuck with, and that's what the American people will be stuck with if we continue down the road with them.
You know, you mentioned that the Republicans kind of hoisted themselves on their own petard by bringing up constantly these attacks on Obamacare, and what they did in the Congress you know, they were saying that they were opposed to Obamacare, and even though they knew they couldn't muster the votes to repeal it, they had votes to repeal it repeatedly. 88 times they tried to repeal Obamacare in both houses of the Congress. Now, it seems to me that if the Democrats were really serious about winning and changing the landscape in 2018, now would be the time for them to try to introduce in both houses, you know, Medicare for all, single-payer health care system. Let McConnell and Ryan refuse to allow it to the floor for a vote and fight over that, and use the airwaves that they've been using to try to make war with Russia available for that discussion, which would mean wall to wall. And then if you can actually force a vote, you know, a line vote on it, you're going to see Republicans have to vote for it too, because they have to go back to their constituents and say, well, we were going to give you free health care, but you can't have it. So, you know, if they were really serious about doing something, they actually have it within their means to do it. And the example of the Republican Congress that was just in, you know, up until the changeover in January.
Sure, that would make sense, but they don't want Medicare for all. They are in bed with Big Pharma and the health insurance company, and this, and Obamacare was a windfall for them. It was a complete bailout of these industries that are already doing quite well in this country, because there's no limit on how much money they can make. So if they did what you just described, that would be smart politically. That would be a ticket to get back into power. But they are more beholden to these interests, and they cannot defy them. And they don't, I think they don't want to anyway. I don't think it's a hard choice for them. So here we are in, we're all the losers, because we are, the Republicans have the votes to do something. It's not clear what they're going to do that will make the healthcare system even worse, even more unaffordable, create more uninsured people. And the Democrats refuse to do what they could do to rescue, actually to change the system and make it better for other people, but they're not going to do it. They're hoping that Republican unpopularity will help them slide back into office without them having to change anything substantially.
And you close the article with, the mass revulsion that should have greeted Hillary Clinton and the Democrats never materialized. If Trump didn't exist, the party would have had to invent him. So, why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, well, it's perfect, because he has, and he's responsible for that. He made these appeals to racism. Looking back, I believe he won the moment he said he was going to build a wall on the Mexican border. I think everything else was icing on the cake after that. But I don't think it's enough to just say that, just to say that he's a racist, and that's the only reason that he was able to win. For one thing, it lets the Democrats off the hook. And it says that the only thing that motivates people in this country is racism. And so it makes an excuse for the Democrats. But here we are with this person who is a perfect punching bag, but it only got them so far. It did not help them win. And one of the things I learned, I did not think, I thought Hillary Clinton was going to eke out a victory. I thought she was going to win. I now realize that Trump has more popularity than I was willing to acknowledge. I don't think, just politically, I don't think that's going to be enough. But they use him to, I think Donald Trump is probably the number one fundraiser for, I'll have to try to get a Democratic Party solicitation and see how they raise money, but I'm sure he's their, the face of Democratic fundraising, he and Vladimir Putin. Yep. And Steve Bannon. So they have this perfect punching bag. He's so horrible, he's so horrible, he's so horrible, which silences Democrats who always think that they have no option but to follow their party. And they have to be quiet. And the only way for Democrats to win is for them to be silent and let this discredited leadership do what they want to do. So, yeah, he's perfect for their purposes, but I think they're mistaken if they assume that they can drive up his unpopularity and that alone will help them get back into power. I don't think that's the case.
Margaret Kimberly has a weekly column at blackagendareport.com under the banner Freedom Rider. This week, Hillary returns. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.